Welcome to We Watch Too Much TV, the weekly podcast where two real-life best friends dish on all the TV content they've been binging in their remote work-based lives. Babbling about everything from scripted television to reality TV and film, these two besties will immerse you in their quirky universe of streaming. Here are your hosts, Jocelyn and Tanea.
And we are back.
We watch
TV. Back again.
It's the best.
All we do is watch TV.
Your favorite
me
bestie.
Me and my bestie.
Me and my bestie.
Where's our record contract?
Because listen, we've been doing this a long time.
People, let me tell you about my best friend. Like when I say we have a lot of songs and people don't understand that.
Right.
We just be rapping. Yes. Well, happy day, best friend. How are you? How was your weekend?
Oh my gosh, my weekend was amazing. You know, I mean, the weather out here was crazy in LA. I don't know what the hell is going on. People have been probably wishing bad on us. That's what's been going on. So all of the people that's been hating on our warm weather over here was wishing bad.
You've been bragging to every damn body.
And that's right. And that's what happened.
It's LA weather and now her ass got snow.
Oh my God. I will say the snow-capped mountains in Pasadena look gorgeous. The NAACP Awards was this weekend. So as we were driving there, I said to my husband, are those the clouds? He's like, no, that's the snow-capped mountains. I was like, oh, they do look nice. I ain't even gonna lie. Cause you don't really
You know what we should do for your birthday? Big Bear.
Not at all. I'm already thinking I wanna do Aruba and I'll be sending out a text. Either Aruba or St. Bart's. You know, I'm all about the sun, baby.
Wah, wah, wah. It's because she's already in a winter baby. So
my
she doesn't
birthday
be
is in the dead of winter. I am not trying to be in nobody's Big Bear in the dead of winter. No. But yeah, no, my weekend was amazing. You know, I was hanging out with Crystal. I had, you know, we were just cutting up, having such a good time. My dress was a hit. I ain't even going to lie. I ain't even going to hold y'all.
You looked amazing. Amazing.
Thank you, best friend. That honestly motivated me to go out because I had already bought the dress. Then on Friday, it was raining crazy, but I still went and got my hair done. So I'm like, okay, I got my dress. I got my hair done. I'm going out. Y'all going to see me today. Y'all going to see me. Somebody going to see me this weekend. I'm taking these pictures, baby. And I did. I sure did. But yes, thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It was so fun. What did you do this weekend?
You know, I needed a really lazy weekend because I had a really busy week. I was turning up. So I was lazy. I just took my niece out for dinner on Saturday. Yesterday was one of those days where I tried to catch up to all the TV that I want to watch. Cleaning, cooking dinner for the week, go food shopping because our blizzard is coming like tonight. It's probably snowing right now. But I just think everybody deserves a weekend where they don't do anything. So that was me this weekend watching too much TV.
That will be me this upcoming weekend because I'm not going to do two weekends back to back of a lot of running around. I mean, typically I never even do 2 days of like events. It was just that it was an awards. It's award season, you know, so and I had a friend in town. So, yeah, I had to go make my stops. But let's get into our weekly grab.
Right, you go first, bestie. What's on your grab?
You want me to go? Okay, as we head into Women's History Month and wrap up Black History Month, this show on Netflix called African Queens, produced by Jada Pinkett Smith, it's amazing. It's telling the story of Queen. Hold on, because I hate when I do this. I should have did this already. It's like Queen Nzinga. Hold on, I want to say her name right. Yes. Queen Nzinga, like Nzinga or Ninga. I feel like that J is kind of silent. It's not like a hard J. But I think I've even mentioned it on this show before, like my complaints with the return of Game of Thrones. It's like, y'all, there was other kings and queens out here, y'all. Can we get some diversity and representations and tell these other stories? Because they're great stories. You know, especially when you watch a movie like The Woman King, that I don't understand why I was snubbed for an Oscar, but it's an amazing movie. And it gives you a visual representation of African kingdoms. John Boyega did a great job playing the king. And Viola Davis did an amazing job playing like the leader of their military. So now on African Queens, the story of Queen Nzinga, she was the daughter of a king. And the king got assassinated. And then there was a rivalry among the siblings of who was going to be the next in line. So the brother becomes like up there, but he's also a hot mess. So you're seeing this Njinga step up in this leadership role. I'm not done. So I'm still watching the story, but you know, this is from centuries ago. So, you know, it's no spoiler alerts of what happened here, but you know, she's battling her people within her own family, getting her own village to believe in her, to take on this leadership role being a woman. But at the same time, the main enemy is the Portuguese, because at that time, this is the 1600s, the Portuguese are enslaving Africans and bringing them over to the Caribbean to work their sugar plantations. So it's also like history. So I just love the representation. And so shout out to Jada Pinkett Smith for this show. I'm here for it. And if you're into Game of Thrones and just wanting to see some kind of diverse representation on Kingdoms, check it out. It's a good one. What you got?
We need more of our stories being told, because a lot of people aren't telling them. So shout out to everybody just telling our stories. Yes. I love that.
Yes, I love that for us. How about you, Bestie?
So we're going to keep it on Netflix, because y'all know what Tanae is going to do. She's going to watch a goddamn documentary.
She sure
so
is.
This one, I've been... One thing I'm going to do is I'm going to watch a goddamn documentary.
Sure enough.
Okay, so I've been reading the news about the Murdoch family, this very wealthy, rich white family from like a very small town in South Carolina, but I didn't know the whole truth. So I watched the 3-part docuseries, and oh my gosh. Okay, basically, there's like a wealthy family of lawyers. They come into like law. Basically, their family gets away with murder 3 times. Things just keep coming around. They were untouchable family. The husband was a lawyer. The grandfather was a lawyer. The great-great-grandfather was a lawyer. Mm. They had 2 sons. Older son went to law school. Younger son was like the nuisance. So first thing was somebody close to the older son died who was gay. And there was a rumor that he was messing with the older son. That crime went unsolved. Nobody ever investigated it. Nobody ever did anything. Let's fast forward to 2 years later. Their housekeeper of 20 years miraculously falls down the stairs after dogs tumble her. They say it wasn't. Oh, she lives for 2-3 days. The rich husband goes to visit her. She miraculously dies. Because she died on their property, the father says, oh, let me sue myself so I can give the insurance money to the sons. He gets the insurance money for $4 million, doesn't give it to the sons. Mm. 2 years later, the younger son is a drunk, 16, underage drinking. He kills one of his closest friends in a boat accident. He never goes to jail. He gets arrested. And I think his trial comes up around like 2021. Him and the mother are shot dead.
What?
On the house. Right. So the father calls, like, somebody shot my wife and my son. Is somebody trying to retaliate for the dead girl who died in the boat? Come to find out, the head lawyer slash dad was addicted to drugs. He's on trial for allegedly killing the wife and killing the son, trying to frame somebody else because he was smuggling money out of the law firm and got fired from the law firm, and the wife started to figure everything out. Then he tried to kill himself and tried to say that he had a life insurance money for $10 million because it's that one older son left. When I say it's a mess, y'all.
Oh. And this is still happening because you're saying he's on trial.
Right. So right now there are 4 dead people that is on this guy's hand. You had the older son's gay friend who miraculously died and got hit by a car 2015. Nobody ever looked at, because they own the cop people. So they know people in the FBI, the police. When you say the name Murdaugh in that city, something just happens and nothing happens to them. So the gay guy dies in 2015. Nothing happens. The housekeeper dies in 2017. It's an accident. He sues himself because she dies on his property, asks for the money. He says he's going to give the money to the family. He takes the $1 million. Then when he starts getting caught up in money and stealing and stuff, he shoots his wife, allegedly, because he's still on trial. He shoots the wife and the son, blames it on somebody else. And then his story starts unraveling. It starts unraveling. So now he's on trial. It's been 2 weeks. It's on Court TV if you guys want to watch it. I do watch the YouTube. But it's just so compelling to see how money and power can buy anybody, literally.
Yes.
And wow. Every episode, I was like, what? Wow. So, yes, that's why I love a fucking documentary.
Wow. That one sounds good. I might check it out. I'm more into, though, I want to see after he's sentenced or whatever, because I like to see the full shebang. Like, if there's still, like, if things up in the air, I want to, because then, you know, they're going to do another documentary after he gets sentenced. Wow. Okay. Well, my next weekly grab is for South Park. We all know South Park. It's been on air since 1997, one of the longest running cartoon shows. So I was seeing articles about the Harry and Meghan Markle episode. Allegedly, they were offended by it and they could potentially take legal action. So, of course, it made me curious. Well, then I read the article about it. And just from the description of the episode in the article, I was like, okay, this sounds hilarious. I need to watch this. Because I actually did used to watch South Park as a child. And even as an adult, I'll periodically watch an episode because it's a funny show and I'm into like funny stuff like that. So I watched the Harry and Meghan episode. It is hilarious. It basically plays off of Harry and Meghan's, you know, their real story. So it's like a prince of Canada who wants to break away from the royal family of Canada because he wants privacy with his former celebrity wife, who has all these celebrity friends and she's an influencer. And they want privacy and they are demanding privacy. And they go on this world tour like, we want privacy. We want privacy. So they are going around the world trying to find this privacy that they're shouting out to the rooftops. They end up in South Park, Colorado, and they are next door neighbors with Kyle. And they are outside being so loud, like, we want privacy. And Kyle's like, can you guys just shut up? And they are like kind of being terrorist neighbors to Kyle, demanding their privacy. They like make appearances on talk shows to talk about the prince's book, where we know that
Harry, oh my God,
the book that Harry wrote is called Spare, but the book in the South Park is and it's a play off of, because at the end of the day, and I was saying this when we talked about Harry and Meghan, because we know Taneya loves Harry and Meghan, and I love them too. Like, Harry, Meghan is still my princess, but at the end of the day, what I did get from them, it's like, you guys are kind of playing up this like victim role while taking shots at the same time. Like, I don't get how Harry's like, you know, like, they were bothering my wife and I just had to break away, you know. But yeah, my brother got hit with the ugly stick. He's bald and he lost my mother's gene. It's like, bro, like, you're not so much of a victim, because you're kind of doing the same thing that you say that they do. Like, you're on top of that, you're airing out a lot of family business. So if you want this privacy and you want to just live your life, then do that, you know. But when you do interviews and documentaries, and it's, you're only going to just bring more attention on yourself of this attention that you're saying you don't want. So I think that's what the play is on that South Park episode, on top of it just being funny. So I ended up, that was episode 2 of this new season. I ended up watching episode 1, which made fun of Kanye and his anti-Semitism. And that shit was hilarious.
Get out of here.
Yes, it did. It was a Cupid. It was a play out, because it must have came out around Valentine's Day. So it was like Cupid, yay. And this little Cupid was going around and whispering like anti, like saying like to Cartman, like, yo, they trying to take down black people. Yo, the Jews, man, they run Hollywood, man. You got to, like, it's hilarious.
It's the, it's voice like, for me.
Yo, it's hilarious. So it's like, yo, like, if, you know, Kanye, nobody's off limits. That's the one thing I'll say. Like, you can't be like, oh, they make racist jokes because, you know, no, that was about Family Guy. There was like a joke they said about Nipsey Hussle. But it's like shows like South Park, shows like Family Guy, no one's off limits. No race, class, gender, no disability group. They make fun of everything. That's a part of comedy. And I saw the humor in it. And honestly, again, I do not believe that Meghan and Harry are considering legal action on this damn episode. I think that is a, you know, probably something they're just trying to put in the media to try to bring them down. Because I do think that there is an agenda against Harry and Meghan. I'm not disputing that at all. You could see it clear as day. But I still just like that the episode played off of, you know, their flaws. Because it's like, girl, come on. Meghan, like, you were a whole actress. You even, like, one of her podcasts, I had to listen to it because I covered it. And it's like, if she will interview someone on her podcast that, you know, is like, I can't remember who, was it Tyler Perry? Someone. But she was like, no, it wasn't Tyler Perry, but it was someone else really famous. And she's like, oh, I met you before, but you didn't remember, you know? So it's like, you could still see the fangirl in her of want liking, like one, you know, like she wants to, you know, there's not wrong with it, girl. Like, you know, I'm a journalist. I get it too. Like, you know, I'm only going to these events because I want to be seen. I want to take a picture. I want to look good. I would want to connect with certain people. Like, there's nothing wrong with that, but don't deny it. You know, I think it's a part of now becoming like where they're trying to take this like high road when it's like, come on, guys. So yeah, they got made fun of on South Park and it's a hilarious episode. So check it out if you haven't. What else on your weekly grad, Bessie?
Definitely will. So we know I love Abbott Elementary, but this past week's episode was such a climax in the Gregory Janine will they, won't they? So spoiler alert. Gregory finally, well, Amber dumps Gregory because they clearly are not made to be together. And him and Janine spend like this whole little teacher's weekend alone. And you finally get to see how much they understand each other, how much they're kind of like fit for each other and made for each other. And then they kiss. Finally, they kiss. But of course, one thing I love about the show, they're not going to give you too much. They just run away like, no, it never happened. And you can tell that they want more, but it's the will they, won't they kind of storyline. So I'm just happy that they didn't wait till season 5 to let this happen. Right. So now they know that they're into each other. And I just can't wait to like season 4 when they're married. And we're going to play this back.
I see them playing it up like the whole Ross and Rachel. Like, they'll get together. There's going to be a breakup. They'll get back together. You know, like, if they're going to build it up before we see them get married. Because you got to.
Yes, I love that. And it's, I like the suspense. And they're like, it's real. Because sometimes you don't get with the love of your life immediately. Sometimes you got to, like, play the game, go together, break up. And, you know, I think it's just really building their arc. So I just want to say thank you, Quinta Brunson, for giving me this. Because just the kiss alone, I was in my house screaming like,
I love it. I'm here.
So it was really, really
I'm
good.
A little behind on Abbott, but I always catch up when I do and I always enjoy it. It's so funny. When I was at the NAACP after party, I had been there early because, you know, Crystal was working it. So I was there before everyone showed up. And of course, I'm starving, but I'm like, you know, I'm waiting until everybody comes in. So then I'll go eat once people are there. Once people started coming in, I noticed a guy went straight for the food. And so I saw him. I was like, oh, I'm next. So him and I were the first two people to get plates of food. Guess who it was?
Chris Perfetti.
No, the Mr. What's his name? From Abbott, the janitor.
Oh, Mr. Johnson.
Yes, Mr. Johnson. He came straight for your food. Yes, William Stanford Davis. He was not playing. He came straight. He was like, yeah, they had no food at the awards. You know, I was hungry. I was like, I feel you because I'm right with you. Love him. Love him. So, yeah, shout out to Abbott.
I love him.
Yeah, no, he's amazing. Yes. He's amazing. So next on my list, I'm just calling out you on Netflix. I do know that this is the last season of it, right? This is the end of the show, I'm assuming. Because, yeah, you can tell it's done. Like, it's done. This season is like... Remember I was saying it was good. It was starting out really good. Kind of like, it was like a whodunit. And you see, that's the whole season. They're playing off of this whodunit theme. But now it's so cheesy and predictable. And it's like, you know, because now it's part one and part two. So only part one is out. We got to see part two. I'm hoping part two kind of does a little bit more originality and kind of more suspense just to kind of close out the show on a good note. Because this so far, these first 5 episodes... It's okay, but at the same time, it's like, it's gotten so cheesy. Like, it's kind of getting predictable, and now they're kind of dragging it. Like, oh, who's the murderer? And then, oh, you find out who the murderer is, and now he's going. It's just like, all right, come on. Versus, like, the early seasons of You, like, ended up, he marries a serial killer. He's the serial killer. Like, it was just, like, so much more original the first, what, 3 seasons? So now, I guess, season 4 is kind of like, So that was that. That was the only thing I was going to say about that. Just a little disappointing.
While I don't watch the show, I do love Penn Bagley. And I've been watching a lot of his interviews about it. Mm-hmm. And I think he just is becoming a little taken aback by everyone's obsession with the character. Mm-hmm. So I did see an interview where he said, like, he specifically gave them different limitations. Like, now, like, he doesn't want so much sex scenes. And so I think he's becoming more conservative, which why it makes sense that it's getting more whack to the core viewer. Because I did hear that he's just like, I don't want women to, like, want this. So what you're saying isn't surprising me.
Yeah, yeah. So did you have another one on your weekly grab, or should I go to my last one?
I will go to my last one, which is Next Level Chef. It's a reality TV show. I love Gordon Ramsay. He's such a mean, nice, big teddy bear because he plays mean, but he's so nice in real life. I can tell. Basically, there's three levels. There's like the best kitchen ever, a medium kitchen, and a basement where only bums would cook. And there's three teams, three competing chefs, and you cook on each level. And it's a different type of cooking show to where people compete. And sometimes the best chef will be in the basement. The worst chef will be the one who had like the top level kind of gas and knives thing. So if you're into like Top Chef, mm-hmm. or even like Hell's Kitchen, if you like a cooking show, it's interesting because it's a different type of competition. And at the end, the worst of like the two dishes, they battle it out. And then the last person wins. I want to shout out Nuri. He's like my favorite to win. He's from Maryland. He's young. He's black. He's like has a pregnant girlfriend and he just is giving it to me. So if you like competition shows and cooking shows, Next Level Chef is for you. And I love you, Gordon Ramsay.
Cooking shows make me hungry. So I can never, but Mark does like them. Like typically if we're watching something, like if he's watching like something on the NBA and then he just leaves the channel on and then a cooking competition show comes on afterwards, he watches it. Like he actually gets into it. It's really cute to watch. But for me, like it always makes me hungry. And so it's just hard for me to watch cooking shows because I'm just like, okay, I need to order some food or I need to go in my kitchen and eat something. And then rarely do I feel like watching them on a full stomach. But yeah, so my last weekly grab goes to Life After Lockup. It started on Friday. I know last week we mentioned Monique and Derek being on the show, but we weren't sure if they were going to be on it. They are. Monique and Derek are back.
I knew it.
Yeah, Monique and Derek are back.
We felt it.
Yeah, Monique definitely looks good. Like she looks like she is losing weight. We're seeing her reconnect with Derek. She went back to Ohio to visit him. Derek is wanting, he worked his way to get her back. He admitted he cheated. And so his sisters are extremely messy. They do not like Monique at all. They're very mean to her. They fat shame her. It's just, and at the same time, you see Derek just be like, yo, chill, chill. But he doesn't really stick up for Monique either. So I just don't really know where this is going to go. Right now, it kind of just seems like everybody is playing it up for this show. Everyone but Monique. Like, of course, Monique really wants to be with Derek. But Derek is just kind of, I think he's maintaining this loyalty to her for how she held him down in prison. But at the same time, now they got this show. So he's going to stay with her as long as she's willing to stay with him. And then the sisters are enjoying the camera time, but they are just so messy. So they're still on the show. Justine and Michael are back. Justine is, she's pregnant. She's opening up about her past mistakes and relationships. And because now she's getting fearful of basically things not working out with Michael the way they didn't work out with her other three baby daddies. But I love that she's having these conversations with herself while pregnant. Like, oh, great timing, Justine. I can't really see that you've learned from your mistakes because it's like all you're showing is like you know what your mistakes are. You're acknowledging them after you just made the same mistake. You just got pregnant by some man. I don't care if y'all, how long you had been dating while he was in prison. Y'all are just, this is fresh. He's out of prison now. This is something new. And you literally got pregnant by him ASAP. And you let us know that was your intention. So yeah, girl. I at the same time, Michael does seem like a great guy. I am rooted for them. I just, again, y'all already know my thoughts on it. I just don't like seeing women rush when they already got kids and you just rushing some new man into their life. It's just a bit much.
And they're not ready. It's not going to keep a man, y'all. Okay?
There's other couples on the show. There's other couples on the show. We're seeing the return of Sean and Sarah. Sean is just a piece of work. Also the return of Chance and Taylor. And Chance still just trying to control things. But I did see in the trailer they would be bringing back Brittany and Mauricio. So I didn't see them in episode one.
Wow.
I'm happy about that. But that's all I wanted to bring up is why are Brittany and Mauricio still on the show? They have no more story to tell. They make up storylines. It's clear as day. And I really do not care to see them on the show anymore. I'm so done with their storyline. I love them as a couple, but you just carry that on. I would rather see fucking Lacey and John and Shane love triangle again than Brittany and Mauricio. But yes, Life After Lockup.
I thought they broke up.
Didn't
she throw his stuff out?
Yes, Lacey broke up. And Lacey and Shane broke up, divorced, and now she's back with John. Mm-hmm. Yep. John.
No, I was talking about Brittany and Mauricio. Didn't she like throw him out the house?
That was a fake storyline. That's what I'm saying. They fake stuff every season. They come up like, okay, you're going to cheat on me this season. Okay, now you have a gambling problem and I'm upset. I don't trust you. Like, it just comes off so like people are over it. Like, people are so tired of seeing them on the show. So I don't know how they're back again, but maybe because they just needed some filler. But because you can still see that there's still some couples that they didn't introduce yet in the first episode. So we'll see what happens in episode two and what their storyline will be this time. Because they moved to Florida. So they no longer live in Vegas and now they're in Florida. So we'll just see. We'll see what this new transition is for them. But yes. So was there anything else you have for your weekly grab, Bestie?
No, that is all we are grabbing for this week.
So let's get into our piss poor performance.
Piss, piss, piss.
Okay, you go first.
So mine is to L'Oreal, the journalist, who forgot that she used to pick on Michael the B, Jordan.
Me.
Then thought she was going to be cute and be like, we know each other way back from school. And he was like, oh, because I was corny, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, because you was talking. And she was like, nah, sis, you know you was talking shit about him with them braids. And you know that you were a bully because you probably thought you was cute and light-skinned in high school and you was popular and you had them off. Because we all know those girls who thought they was hot in the day and didn't know what this person was going to be up to. So I think it's piss poor for you to go up to him and be like, oh, you remember me? And that clip is going viral. Everybody's talking about
it. It's everywhere.
Everywhere because she really thought that she was gonna be like, oh, we're old friends. It's like your middle school bully coming up to you on a red carpet when you hosting Black Enterprise, like, oh, you don't remember what you said about me?
Right.
Because I remember. So this is why you gotta be nice to people, because you never know where they're gonna end up. And her trying to defend herself, girl, piss poor. You were a bully.
Allegedly,
it's okay.
She said, all right. Good. It's, she said, we used to tease him because his name was Michael Jordan. He was no Michael Jordan. We teased him for bringing his headshots to school. Now look at him.
Now look at him directing a blockbuster. Girl, that's
I can't believe she said she was misquoted with saying he was corny, but then at the end of the interview said, you ain't corny no more. You just confirmed that you called him corny. Girl.
Girl.
Well, she getting dragged, rightfully so. My piss poor performance goes to two Bravo celebrities, Tal Cook on Summer House and Joe Gorga on The Real Housewives of New Jersey. Kyle just really stabbed Carl Radke in the back. Kyle was drunk and he's upset that Carl quit working at Loverboy. And Kyle told the entire group behind Carl's back because Carl and Lindsay weren't there. And he told everyone that Carl showed up to work coked out of his mind and he was unhirable and I'm the only one that gave him a job. Now, granted, that could be the truth, but why? That's supposed to be your, like, these guys have been butt buddy best friends since season one. To see Kyle so easily just throw Carl under the bus like that and tell his business like that. Mind you, Carl's been sober now for like 2 years. So you're clearly talking about something old and you're just, it's like you were sitting on that, waiting to just drag your friend. That is crazy to me. But at the same time, Danielle Oliveira stuck up for Carl. So now to see that Carl and Lindsay repaid Danielle by telling her business on Watch What Happens Live, it's just a whole lot of just backstabbing going on. So, but right now my focus is on Kyle Cook. So he gets my piss poor. And then to Joe Gorga for trying to turn up on Louis, Teresa's husband, banging on tables like the little short toddler that he is. You've been doing that since season three. And I love how Louis just made him look so stupid. Louis was like, stop with the theatrics. Calm down. Stop yelling. You're not going to do anything. And you need to relax. Because Joe just throws temper tantrums. But to see Joe still throwing a temper tantrum at this point, it's just like, Joe, we already know who you are. Nobody, like, just calm down. You're so jealous of your sister. It's so ridiculous. And you have a little Napoleon syndrome because you're so short.
I was just going to say that, best friend. You know, every man under 5'2 is insecure. I don't care what nobody says.
Right. So get over yourself. But those are my piss poor performances. Did you have another one, Bestie?
Oh, no. Just L'Oreal, because you made fun of Michael Jordan.
That karma came. That was some good karma. I love it. I love to see it. He He handled it so well. And you saw it in his face that he was like, I could go in, but I'm going to leave it here.
Yes, because he's so classy. He was like, oh, remember? You remember? And right. Then she taking a picture in front of his fine body for Creed 3. Girl, you ain't never going to live that down. Because you all right, but you ain't no Michael B. You ain't the sexiest woman alive. Because I was the sexiest man alive.
Girl.
And welcome back, guys, to our deep dive / very hot take, because this week is a good one, of the We Watch Too Much TV podcast. And because it's the Real Housewives of Potomac, we told y'all we were bringing a guest every week. I'm so excited for this week's guest. He is personally one of my favorite TikTok bloggers, Mr. Alfonso, pop culture content creator. He's also the king of allegedly, because everything is allegedly. Thank you so much for joining us, Alfonso. Woo!
All right. Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited.
We're excited.
Yes, we are so excited.
Yeah, we are excited because we're going to get into some things. So let's not waste any time. What were your overall thoughts on part two of the Real Housewives of Potomac reunion?
My overall thoughts, I feel like it was not properly done.
Mm.
They tried, but I mean, I feel like at this stage in the game, having so many different franchises, having so many different seasons, so many different times this topic has come up, they have seriously dropped the ball, in my opinion.
Right, right. Tanea, what did you think of just the overall, part two?
I thought it was way better than part one. I would like to give a shout out to Andika Cohen, because I feel like Andy is never going to be a Carlos King. He's never going to give us the Monique of or the like Nina Parkers of it. Andy Cohen is Andy Cohen. So I'm only comparing Andy to Andy. So to me, this was the most turnt I've seen Andy in like all of the reunions. I feel like he finally started holding people to the fire. I kind of feel what Alfonso was saying. I think everyone wanted a lot more, but I always accept people for who they are, and I don't think Andy could have given us any more than what Andy gave us. So he tried the little Andika. So I thought it was good. You?
Right. I enjoyed seeing the continuation of Candace dragging Giselle, telling me to shut up. I was here for how Andy Cohen showed up. At least I could tell that he has been paying attention to the fans and what we've been saying. I know we'll get into the colorism debate more later, but that was a big takeaway from the episode, despite it being only discussed for a mere 3 to 5 minutes. But I don't think that is Andy Cohen's fault. I don't necessarily even think it's so much Bravo's fault, because again, they're not coming from our spaces to even understand these kind of conversations and how to tackle them. And they left it up to the cast to decide. And I could see why, from the basis of that conversation, why it was decided, how it was decided. Like, oh no, no moderator. And Andy just decided, let Candace do it. Because you could see people either were acting disinterested, confused. And honestly, outside of Candace and Wendy a bit, they didn't really, and then Karen showed her support. Nobody really wanted to address that. And I can't put that blame on Andy or the producers, but overall, I do like seeing him hold these women more accountable. And I would like to see him take that energy to the other franchises, because it's needed on every reunion, not just Potomac. You definitely need to bring that to Beverly Hills. Should have brought that to Salt Lake City. I hope you brought it to Miami. You know, it's like we need that same energy. But overall, I did enjoy part two. I was just as invested as I was in episode one, part one. So now my next question, who would you say was the most valuable Potomacer? Instead of player, we're going to say Potomacer of part two.
I would definitely say it was there's a tie for me between Candace and Wendy. Okay. But I also want to like piggyback off of what you said before, not really piggyback, but just to say something, interject. I feel like we've been giving Andy way too many excuses and be like way too many passes and be like, oh, it's Andy, he can't do better. It's too far in the game. And I'm like, to me, it's like, if I have a coworker, I work for a big company that makes millions or billions of dollars. We have an HR department. I'm having issues with a coworker, or I feel like I'm having issues with a coworker. And I express that I'm having this issue. and you're going to call me and my coworker, the person I'm having issues with, and say, hey, how do you want to do this? Do you just want to sit with them and discuss the issue and then you figure it out? That makes absolutely no sense to me. So mm-hmm. I feel like we shouldn't keep giving Andy or Bravo a pass. They're making millions of dollars. They can develop their systems. And I feel like Andy should learn. He shouldn't even be on TV saying, oh, I'm just going to sit here and listen and learn.
Right.
To me, it feels like you didn't learn anything from Garcelle, and your apology was just because people wanted you to give that apology and you wanted to smooth things over. That's what I feel.
I agree with you. I think it's clear that the voices of the Black housewives community, Black, you know, housewives community, are the fanship within the Black community is getting louder and being heard. But right. now that needs to translate to the people that are in the room making these decisions, which I am more than positive there probably is one, maybe one Black person that's probably a part of the production. Maybe, maybe. We know that Bravo is, they're white. The company that runs Bravo, NBC, they're white. These are white people. These are white production companies. Andy is white. So now this conversation goes beyond Bravo. If you want to get into just the issue of just corporate America, because it's still a corporate company, it goes across the board. You guys got to get comfortable with bringing people in to these spaces, to these opportunities that are going to reflect everyone in this country that are taking in this product, instead of somebody that you feel comfortable with, or like they were saying on like ESPN about the lack of Black head coaches. It's like, oh, the white owners don't want to go to dinner with the Black coaches. So you got to get comfortable with hiring somebody that you might not want to go to dinner with, which is dumb. Because if you don't want to go to dinner with somebody because the color of their skin or because this cultural differences, it's crazy, because you're still missing the mark tremendously, because it's not only people that look like you that are watching your stuff or taking in your stuff, you know, your content. So yeah. I agree with you. It just goes much deeper than, it's like, for them to really address this issue, it's like, it's not just Bravo, it's America. Like, address that issue. Like, why? Like, you got to diversify the pot, because especially when you have stuff like this, now you got to show a Black show. It's a Black show. It's a full Black cast. And so Black people are watching the show. Exactly. And then now when you hear our voices complaining about issues of colorism, they're like, well, what do we do? Well, all right, well, let's just kind of like
right.
on the reunion. Let's see what they want to do. Because you don't got no Black people even on this, a part of this conversation, to tell you how you should address this. And you're confused.
Right. They have Eric. So I'm like, Eric, where are you?
Eric.
Like, we need to get Candace to call you.
Where's and Eric? Right. Yeah. That's what Candace said. Where is Eric?
We need to call Eric immediately.
Right.
Immediately.
The minute I heard her say that, I Googled Eric and I'm like, okay, this is Eric. I know his face. I'm crazy.
Okay,
I'm
so
sorry.
You said it's a tie between Wendy and Candace as the MVP. Yes. Tanea, who's your MVP?
I gave my MVP to Karen. I just loved how, one, she called Robin out. Robin can never own her own shit. It always has to be but somebody else. And Karen was like, uh-uh, they're not asking me no question. And I'm not nobody's mother, even though I'm the matriarch and the grand dame. I don't got to sit here and tell two grown women to stop fighting, for one. And for two, I loved her ownership of the conversation. I agree with you, best friend. You could tell the two people who didn't want to happen at all. You could 100% see that it was like a 5-2. Five people were like, let's have this conversation. Two people didn't see what it was about. And we'll go more into that when we go on that topic.
Oh, yeah, because I still have so much more.
We have so much to say. But exactly. I just love how Karen made the good point of like, I come from a plantation and I recognize that I'm light-skinned, and I recognize and I see it, and I'm listening and I'm understanding. It's not about whether I think they're right or wrong. I'm validating their feelings. And sometimes all people need is their feelings to be validated. Because Candace said, I don't think that they're colorist, but they're not validating my feelings of feeling this way. And to me, Karen said it elegantly, like she always does. And she has class. And I'm low-key waiting for Charisse to come look stupid. So yeah, Karen.
As usual. Yeah.
She's going to look so stupid next week, y'all.
Eeyore. Yeah, so my most valuable player goes to Wendy. No question about it. You know, Candace was episode part one. Part two goes to Wendy. She spoke up. She read Mia's ass down, clapped back at Giselle. as well as really calling Robin out with her actions at that, you know, during the fight in Miami, like not playing up with Robin's excuse of I didn't want you to fight. And I like that they played that unaired clip that Robin was really like kind of being cool with Wendy at a point, saying like, you know, don't fight this girl. You do fight her off camera. But again, it still also shows like, Robin, you're aggressive and you really like, not even that, you're ghetto.
I mean,
like, girl,
Robin,
you over here talking, you're telling her in front of it, still in front of the cameras, in front of these white people, just fight her off camera. Really, girl? Really? So, and then even seeing Wendy break down to confront the entire group. Cause I'm sorry, at the end of the day, that was embarrassing. Y'all really let Mia attack her like that. And nobody really did much of anything. Let's just put it there. Candace included. Well, Candace wasn't there. I'm sorry.
Right.
But y'all didn't really do much of anything. Ashley included. Karen included. Y'all didn't do anything.
Ashley was never going to do anything.
And never. Just watch and stir the pot afterwards. And then to watch Giselle and Robin coddle Mia, who was the aggressor. And then it's just like, well, because I don't like her. So I liked seeing Wendy call that out and then with tears in her eyes, because at that point, it's like when somebody starts crying, it's like, yeah, your defenses break down and you feel sorry for them, unless you're Giselle. Mm-hmm. But I just, and she just looked beautiful the whole time, the whole way through. She's so well worded. I love what she represents as a Black woman. And
she's so eloquent.
And so it's, you know, like she was already doing that. Like I used to already like seeing her segments on like CNN, because she just can always put together her thoughts so clearly and just very intellectually. I love it. So seeing her bring that to a Housewives reunion, because, you know, it's not every show even has that one Wendy, right? That one really educated housewife who's also still stylish and fierce. And doesn't just come off as like the super book oriented, oh no, I'm too above this. Like Wendy, you see Wendy's down to play, down to get dirty, but she can read your ass down eloquently. And you don't see that so often on Housewives in general.
I agree. Yeah.
I love seeing it from a beautiful brown skinned Black woman.
Mm-hmm.
She's my MVP. But now let's get into the LVP, the least valuable Potomac-er of part two of the reunion. Who do you think? Who are you giving your LVP to?
I'm still thinking about that one, to be honest, because I feel like the reunion-wise, Giselle would definitely be, and Robin would tie for me. Just because what we know going into the reunion and how hypocritical Robin was, I'm just like, this is ridiculous. I feel like they wasted all this money doing the reunion. It should have been scrapped and they should have started over.
Right. Ooh. And everybody should have charged her. Like everybody should have charged her. Yeah, or
they should have all went back, or just Robin and Juan and Giselle, since they were all in cahoots together, they should have all went back and did a part three or four.
Right.
And I just love how production is literally cutting to her lying. Yeah. I just have to give it up to that. Like, they're like, oh, she said this at the reunion, but look what happened 2 weeks later.
Listen, production is pissed. They're mad. They're mad. And I get it. And I know they're mad. So, I mean, I would be too. Well, I know.
She messing up the bag. Yep. She messing up some business.
Money wasted. This could have like seriously affected the entire franchise, because people could have just been like, well, you know what? I'm not going to watch it because clearly it's not real.
They did an entire op-ed on Rolling Stone about this, and then tied in Robin, tied in Lisa Rinna being fired for storylining, tied in Heather Gay's Black Eye.
I didn't see that.
Oh, it's a good one. I'll send you the link. It's really good. I read the whole thing because I'm not an op-ed type person, but it was like a really good deep dive breakdown on how the essence of the early years of Housewives, where it was authentic, organic, like they were even forced to just share their real lives, is gone. And now you're getting people storylining like Lisa Rinna, like she comes and tries to make a storyline out of something that didn't air on camera, Kathy Hilton. Right. And you're just like driving into that, but you don't even want to talk about stuff with your husband, nothing, right?
Or your kids. Exactly.
Or your kids. You get Heather Gay, who dragged out this thing about the Black Eye to still not even really say the truth about the Black Eye. And then this story with Robin, you're admitting that you lied, that you hid the truth. You lied and you hid the truth on and you're on a reality show. It's right. just
it, and it I'll goes talk about against, it later. I'll talk yeah, about gonna, it later.
gonna, it goes against what this show stands for. Tanea, who's your LVP?
Mia, she just looks stupid and she yeah. just be lying. And I can just I say this and I keep saying this again. Mia is what happens when you watch Housewives and you want to be on Housewives so bad that you kind of create a character because she just lies. Like her mm-hmm. fake cries or the colorism debate. I didn't believe that for 1 second. Her trying to make up lies about people, like just she just looks stupid. And every time and her just butting in the conversation of Candace. And freaking Giselle, shut up, Mia, because right. nobody was talking to you and you were at the all. Least like exactly. I would Giselle could have chimed in or Wendy could have chimed in. But Mia, you were literally on the outskirts. So just stop trying. I just wish she was more authentic. She just comes off to me as like she wants so hard to be the NeNe Leakes, but she's more like the Deshaun Snow.
That no, she's no. Why
she's
would you
more like the Charisse trying to get back on the
she
show?
She tries too
That's
hard.
The vibe she's giving. She's no. Yeah, she's trying like to get the, in.
Do you guys remember Alana, the one who went to college with Portia, and Portia could not remember her?
Oh, Giovanna.
I'm yes. Giovanna.
She's like yes. Giovanna. Yes. yes. She's like Giovanna.
Don't
That's
say
better.
Deshaun Snow. Deshaun Snow. You don't know me. OG. No, no, no. We gonna give Deshaun Snow more credit than that. She right. is Giovanna from Clark. And
Eva kept saying, I do not know you. You don't know me. You don't remember me.
I'm That's Giovanna me. From Clark.
No, Eva That's was like, so no, weird. Bitch. So no.
Weird. The thing with Mia, too, is why are you going so hard for somebody that just accused you of embezzlement? Honey.
Exactly.
Giselle and Robin do not want to sit with you. They are only using you to just get under Wendy's skin. They don't rock with you like that. And they continue to show you that time and time again. I don't know why you're trying to at least have an alliance with them. It's going to get you nowhere. Trust and believe, because Giselle is only loyal to herself. Even Robin and Giselle was throwing little, like when Robin aired out Giselle's age, I was like, ooh. And they showed a close up of like they took a picture of how Giselle's face looked at the time. She looked a little annoyed when Robin did the math, like 16 years.
So I mean, I feel like Robin,
I was like, oh, Giselle is 52. Well,
Robin tried to get back at her because remember Giselle on the show, basically brought Robin's information and said that Juan wasn't on their house.
Yep, sure did.
And Robin was pissed.
Sure was. Yes,
but she was playing it down for the camera.
And that's not the first time that Giselle has aired out Robin's business or something she told her in confidence for mm-hmm. the sake, because at the end of the day, Giselle doesn't really have loyalty to anyone. She likes to stir the pot, and that's what she likes to do.
Can't hold water.
Speaking of Giselle, that is my LVP. She just showed all of her true colors on part two, how ugly she is, despite how pretty she looks on the outside. Like you really are an ugly person on the inside. You don't like outside of, we saw that little bit of humanization of her when she shared her hysterectomy experience, mm-hmm. but for you to see Wendy break down, explain how hurt and disappointed she was in everyone for not at least helping diffuse the situation of her being assaulted. And on like two different occasions, Giselle just pointed her out of nowhere, very unwarranted. I don't like her because I don't like her. Your own sorority sister, that's your only sorority sister on this cast. It's just disgusting. It's not sisterly. Giselle has no kind of girl code. I mean, outside of just helping Robin hide lies about her cheating husband, but at the same time, Giselle can sympathize with that because she's had to do the same. And then her stank face, because at the same time, Giselle is not a good, she's not a good reader, right? When she gets called out on reunion, she every year after year, Giselle's stank face always becomes a meme.
And her outfit.
So funny.
Her face and her outfit.
She has no comeback. She really has no comeback for anything. She could craft up a clapback when she's before she goes does a professional. But when it's, you know, right all to the fire on the reunion, you just got to sit. She just sits there with her stink face.
Because you know where she gets the clapback from? Her hairstylist.
Ah, right. There we go.
He tells her everything before she goes in and then she records. But when she's on the stage, she can't do it because he can't help her.
Right, because her hairstylist is horrible. Like, horrible. Okay, so now let's get into this colorism debate. How do we feel about it? Like, true feelings. What were standout moments to you in the debate? Was there anyone that surprised you at all? Was there anyone that impressed you? What are your thoughts?
I think Candace leading the whole situation, that should have never happened, but I give her credit for starting off with the actual definition. I think that was very good of her, and her trying to lead the debate and Wendy helping. I thought that was very good. I feel like Mia practiced a little bit because I liked what she said. I didn't feel like it was genuine. I feel like she just practiced because she was like, they might ask this, so I'm going to figure out what I'm going to say. Mm-hmm. That's how I felt when she said what she said. But I felt what she said was good. Karen, I loved what Karen said. I like that Karen acknowledged it. Giselle and Robin was not there for that, and I got that. And one thing that stood out to me that I thought about, but I didn't say it in my review, but I watched Carlos King's review. Mm-hmm. Giselle's father has connections with Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, this is sort of giving me a Portia moment with the whole Underground Railroad. And I'm like, this is ridiculous that you don't know your roots and you are not even trying to connect with your roots.
Yeah.
So I feel like that was embarrassing. And I know that her father is embarrassed from the time she tried to bring her her ex-husband back on the show. I know her father is embarrassed, and I know he doesn't watch the show anymore because of her.
Right. Tanea, what were your thoughts?
I personally was just happy that they had the conversation, because I'm going to be honest, I didn't think they were going to do it. I knew that everyone, like, Twitter was ablaze, TikTok was ablaze. Like, we've been talking about it, but I just was like, they're not going to do this. And long and behold, they did. So I'm just happy that they listened to us. I didn't expect, and a lot of people were just like, oh, it should have been 30 minutes. It should have been 20. I didn't have high expectations. I'm just happy that they did it at all. I was not surprised by Robin and Giselle, but I was more disgusted. Even with Giselle questioning, what does emotion have to do with colorism? Why you can't just shut up and just listen? Like, even her whole attitude about discount, like, that was a moment of teaching. I will give props to Karen and Ashley and Mia for just shutting up and letting Candace and Wendy own that and letting them speak to it, because you can tell it was something heavy on their hearts. But the fact that, and even Robin didn't say anything. Robin just shut up. You know, she just hit it in. But for Giselle to even question what one has to do with the other, sis, this is your problem now. And this is why God is not going to bless you. You're just too negative. You have too much of a darkness in her. Like, whatever Jamal Bryan did to her, y'all, she's still crying over that man. Something is in her that's, like, dark and heavy. And it's just just not right.
No, I think
that lady is not right.
Mean, evil first lady of a church, even when they were married, probably happily married, having their kids. She is a mean, nasty woman. I could imagine how she was at Hampton University after getting her letters, and for any girls that came in after her. I at this point, it's very hard for me to deny that Giselle is a colorist.
Yep. Okay.
We have not seen her have a genuine relationship with anyone brown skin on the show. Charisse does not count, because Charisse is thirsty to try to get back on the show, and she helps do Giselle's dirty work. So that doesn't count. You have not seen Giselle have a genuine relationship with someone of darker skin tone, okay? The fact that, again, and I bring it up again, Wendy and Giselle are in the same sorority, and Giselle just clearly has shown she just doesn't want to like Wendy. I posed a question on Twitter and Reddit because I needed to be reminded. Can someone remind me exactly what did Wendy do that set off Giselle not liking her? And everyone responded, and they're just like, she didn't necessarily do anything. It was just Wendy. Mm-hmm. She didn't like that Wendy defended herself when, you know, Giselle started coming for her for the plastics. Remember, she had the plastic surgery. Then she tried to make up rumors about Eddie following booty pages and stuff. So when Wendy claps back from there, it's just like Giselle decides, I don't like you anymore, versus Karen calling her the hoe of Hampton and all the things that Ashley has done and said about everybody. But it's easily forgiven and overlooked. But for some reason, she just doesn't want to like Wendy, who is her sorority sister. On top of the fact that Robin and Giselle did show the most disinterest in the colorism debate, with them both being two Black mothers, two Black sorority members, because Giselle's an AKA, Robin is a Delta. Like Alfonso mentioned, with Giselle having a legacy with civil rights,
I did not know.
I could not believe that, because, you know, yeah, throw back to when she brought her father on the show when they went did the thing in New Orleans. She right. talked about that. Mm-hmm. So it's like, mm-hmm. I cannot believe you are sitting here having a HBCU alum, a woman of the, a part of the first Black sorority, a mother of three brown skinned daughters. This is a former first lady of a church, a Black mm-hmm. church.
Right.
That Martin Luther King used to preach at. I cannot believe you are going to sit here and ask, what does one have to do with the other? You really did not acknowledge nothing about that colorism debate. You should be so ashamed. But the fact that I know you're not is why you are disgusting. She is a disgusting mm-hmm. specimen of a human being. That is right. what you are showing us now. It took 7 seasons for us to really see, like, nah, it's not just like she just likes to play the villain role. I saw another hot take someone said, and it looked good because you saw how defensive she was when she opened up about the hysterectomy. She's like, we'll talk about it later. And someone said,
Andy said, we're going to talk about this now.
Right. right. And someone tweeted and they said, I'm starting to believe that Giselle prefers to play the villain to avoid opening up about herself. She would rather you not like her than being vulnerable and open up about having to get her uterus taken out. Like, it's crazy.
Right.
And then I would have liked, when it comes to that colorism debate, I would have liked the correlation on colorism and actual instances in the cast, like Wendy being assaulted by Mia and the two other two green-eyed bandits, the two green-eyed bandits sticking up for the light-skinned one that was the aggressor.
Right.
Times where, you know, they've called out, oh, like even last season, season 6 with the lettuce toss, but Candace is the one that, Candace, relax. When Mia, again, it was always, Mia's always starting shit. So true. Yes, this ties into this colorism debate. So I would have liked to see them make that correlation to why colorism is constantly being brought up on the show. Cause this is not the first time they have addressed colorism on a reunion. So for Wendy.
Yeah, I think they tried to do that with Monique though. I think
they did. They did it.
Right. That's what I was going to say. Giselle didn't like Monique when she first came on. And I feel like the reason Giselle doesn't like Wendy is because Robin and Wendy were getting too close. Mm. They were getting too close to comfort and she didn't like that. She felt like Robin was hers and she doesn't want anybody else to be close to Robin. Because Wendy did an interview and she said that her and Robin were very close during the pandemic. Mm. They would text every day. They would talk every day. They would talk on the phone. Giselle didn't like that.
Mm.
That's where that That's stemmed from.
Take.
Yeah. That and then when the camera started rolling, Robin was a different person towards Wendy and it made no sense. And even Robin had said after the fight happened, she said, I don't like Wendy. So I'm not going to say she was right. And then Giselle said the same thing in the reunion. And when Giselle said that, I was like, wait, there was a scene when Robin said the same thing.
Yep.
Because I don't like her. That's what they said. And I'm like, this is ridiculous.
Yes. Even Andy was just like, how does that justify you bypassing someone assaulting another person? Because I don't like her. Like, you're a grown woman. It was so like, she knows she looks stupid. She knows she looked disgusting. But you could tell Giselle does not care. Then again, y'all know I always call out Robin and Giselle. They both, because they're nasty. They just nasty. But you know how Robin overshares of like when she has to poop, when she had my stomach issues.
Right.
Did we need to know that she had to change her tampon?
I caught that. I was like, why is she sharing?
Why does she always share? Like, it's like, because she thinks she's so pretty. She can tell everyone that she poops with the door open, that she was pooping while she was watching Candace's live, that she needs to change her tampon. Girl, it's nasty. And maybe the women that are entertaining Juan aren't that nasty and don't be, oh, let know when they got a fart and take a shit. Oh, I'm just saying.
Talk about one.
Men want
one. You're lucky Juan's not here.
I am so lucky Juan Dixon is not here right now.
Okay, so now let's get into this. My next question, we kind of touched on it, but are the Green Eye Bandits justified in not liking Wendy?
Not at all.
No.
They have no reason to not like Wendy, and Wendy has done nothing to them.
Now, what I've read online from some people is they do think that Wendy is condescending And she kind of is a boastful of her education. What do you think of that?
I agree a little bit, and I feel like that was seasons ago. And I feel like Wendy has learned from that, and I feel like she has changed.
Right.
I haven't heard her mention them 4 degrees since her first season. Now it was all about her boot.
Exactly.
Like, I feel like first it was the degrees. She was boastful. Then it was her body. She was boastful. Now she got her businesses. She boastful. Like, she can't win. She just, I feel
Right,
like to
right.
them, they just don't want to like her and they don't have a reason. And now people are starting to realize, like, girl, maybe it's y'all. Because
Right.
there's no reason for y'all not to like her.
Yep. And they are making her become the fan favorite. And I love it. I love
Right. And
it.
they're connecting a lot of dots for me because so Robin and Giselle, they were all up, no, was it Robin? Yeah, both of them. They were all up in Mia's business. And then Giselle had suggested that Mia was embezzling. And I'm like, how are you on here talking about somebody else's business? And now we find out that Eminem is having issues with them doing reasonably shady. They didn't even trademark the business before they started the podcast. And I'm
Ooh.
like, you're a celebrity. It's not like you're a regular person like us. You're a celebrity. You know that that's the first thing you need to do. You have the money to do it. And I'm like, how did you even start the podcast and you're doing all this stuff and you didn't even think of doing that first?
Or never listened to a podcast before that Robin.
Right. I'm
And
like,
Wendy said that wasn't smart.
Don't be a hater.
Right.
Don't
That was
hate.
funny.
Like, no,
Wendy
girl,
said
it
that
wasn't
wasn't
smart.
smart. It
Right. It
wasn't.
wasn't smart. Like, y'all wanna, yeah, the whole fight with Mia happened because y'all was trying to say Robin don't know, Wendy doesn't know business. No, you don't know how to just do some research before starting a podcast, girl.
Right.
Okay, so I think we can all agree that the GIBs are not justified in their reasons for not liking Wendy, that we still
Right.
are trying to figure out from what the consensus is, from what fans are saying, is that they are intimidated by Wendy. And Wendy, you know, she has a good life. She's happily married, three beautiful children, a successful career as a professor, as a political commentator. A reality star, entrepreneur, a published author—like the list can still go
I
on.
do think they're genuinely jealous of her because one, she has a good marriage, but she's authentically herself and she's getting love. I think that
True.
that's what I feel like. Candace kind of has to come into her own. She was going through her stuff. I feel like Ashley was hiding behind Michael Darby. Cameron, I don't compare, but I feel like Wendy from day zero was Dr. Wendy Asefo, and she hasn't backed down. The money has only got her finer. So I think they're just
Right.
mad. Like, honestly,
They're mad about everything. They were mad about Candace's generational wealth.
Yes.
Now Ashley
Ugh.
doesn't even get spousal support.
Yep.
She went into the marriage being a gold digger, and now she's just a digger because she doesn't even she no there's no gold.
There's no
Meanwhile, her
gold.
husband
You can't
owns
be a gold digger. You're
Somalia.
just a digger.
Yes,
Meanwhile,
our
he's
white man owns
a colonizer.
Somalia. He owns
He owns
Somalia.
Somalia.
That's
Crazy.
crazy. Insane. Like, wow. That was like a big, I was like, I don't know how that didn't get brought up on the show, but okay. The one thing I am here for Wendy and Candace alliance, like them coming together as friends, because
Yes.
I do like Wendy's well-worded reads, but sometimes I just want her to be more vicious because she's still like riding the fence of trying to still be nice to Giselle and Robin. And it's like, why?
I think I
I
feel like she's because
wow.
she's still a professor at the end of the day.
Right.
And Bravo tried to play her by putting that whole disclaimer about John Hopkins University. And I think Wendy is still trying to secure and maintain her bag with John Hopkins, which is very
Right.
smart. So at
Yes.
the end of the day, she still has to like, she's playing a fine line because at the end, if they decide we want to like let you go because of this whole situation, they can do that. So I think she's trying to like, play ride the fence a
Right.
little bit. And I get that.
All right.
But
Well, I'm here for it, but but that's where I think Candace will come in because
yeah.
Candace is vicious with the tongue. And I think these two coming together, season eight, will do damage in all the right ways. So now, do we believe Mia's claims about Wendy and Peter?
Child. No. And can I was like trying to have Wendy's tweet ready of what she said
Okay.
because I love what she said. It's
I'm
pretty
gonna just
short.
quote Nene Leakes. No to the no to the no. Oh, that's Sheree. My bad.
Yeah.
No to the no to the no.
And so Wendy's tweet said, and you still have no receipts. Give it up, bird brain. The world knows you're a pathological liar. That's it. And I'm like, yeah, that was a good read. That was just short and spicy. And I'm like, where are the receipts?
Like, no, she just says things to say them. And everyone knows it at this point. Clear as day, because that's what you said about your role as a CEO. And we could see that was a lie.
Right.
All your properties. That was a lie. So, girl, the gig is up. You tried to make Fetch happen. It didn't happen. You are a big fat joke. But like I said, I still think that if she returns, if Mia stays on the show, her demise is going to be herself. You know, I can see her fleeing the show after something comes out, or she does something to make a fool of herself, because she's already doing it. And this is only her second season. So it's right. I just only see it getting worse. Oh, and especially her husband. G's freaky ass.
They're gonna bring her back though. Especially with all the stuff with her and Jacqueline. They're gonna bring her back.
So let's get into that. What are our thoughts on Jacqueline versus Mia? We see the start of I'm laughing because
listen, Jacqueline, Mia, and G,
Jacqueline.
They were dipping and doing it.
Yes.
Allegedly.
Yes. Right.
They can't tell me nothing. I'm not believing anything they're saying.
Said... No fornication. I said,
no penetration.
No penetration. Fornication, yeah. Penetration.
So
I think mouths were open.
Yes.
My best friend knows. Justice for Jacqueline. I want her to be full time next year. I think Jacqueline is 100% telling the truth. I believe everything that comes out of her mouth. Mm-hmm. I think Mia is going to be mad because Mia wants Jacqueline's arc and she just did too much. I really believe that Mia sold her soul to the devil. Mm-hmm. And like Jacqueline's going to see, you should have just been calm like me and we could have been the new like bandits or whatever, but you did too much. So justice for Jacqueline. She's right. I believe everything she says. Mia's going to look dumb with her binder that she bought from Party City.
I like that she touched on the disappointment of her her family feels towards Mia, because I forget that they took her in. You've opened up about your rough childhood and with your mom and her substance abuse. So to know that Jacqueline was the one that took you in, her mother took you in, and then this is how you're treating basically your sister on national television. It's insane. Like, it's so crazy. Like, Mia, you did sell your soul. You don't care about anything but the dick and the lobster.
Not only that, though, Jacqueline's sister was Mia's helper.
Right.
Or nanny, or whatever you want to call it. So this woman knows all the secrets of what's going on in that house. Mm-hmm. And she was allegedly on YouTube, the sister, airing out all the laundry.
Ooh. Like
after the episode where they had where Mia was like, close your legs to married men and all that, the sister went on YouTube and she was like airing out all the laundry. But I went on there too late. I didn't catch all of it, but it was live. And I'm like, girl, you are so dumb. Why would you piss these people off?
And they know all your business.
Exactly.
So I can see Bravo, I do see Jacqueline returning. I don't need her as full time. I'm fine with her being a friend. But I do see her returning because there's more to this story here. And
a lot more.
They're not going to let that slide. They're going to it's going to come. And they're going to let Giselle be the bone bearer. They're going to let Giselle and Ashley go, go meet up with Mia's. Jackie's family, get the tea and bring it back to the group. I see it wholeheartedly.
And I heard that Jacqueline got that text from Candace, and her and Candace are actually friends. So I think that they're going to bring Jacqueline back on top of like Candace. Mm-hmm. And if Mia does come back, Jacqueline and Candace are going to be the two butt buddies. Cause I heard that that's how Jacqueline knows all the tea. From
probably.
How well received when Jacqueline came out, everyone was like, hi, Jacqueline. Hi. Like, they like her.
Mia looked pissed. I mean, and to think Candace and Jacqueline started off on the wrong foot, and then her and Mia started that whole fight, and Candace was there consoling her.
Mm-hmm.
So that, I think Candace really did a complete 180, and we're seeing like different layers of Candace that I liked and I wasn't seeing before. I didn't hate her, but I'm seeing different layers and I'm liking it.
I am so excited I'm so excited. But now my last question, who do we think should return for season 8?
That's a tough one. I feel like everybody should return. Robin should only return if, well, I don't want her to get fired. I feel like she should get demoted. But I feel like she should return only if her and Juan do a sit down. I feel like they need to do a sit down.
Right.
I don't want to hear what she said Juan told her. I want to hear what Juan says.
Yep.
Juan didn't sign a prenup, so everything she's making, he's entitled to that. So he needs to come and defend that check too. So Ooh. I think he should be there. So if they decide they're going to divorce tomorrow, Juan can get everything she has.
Oh my gosh, she's so dumb. Like, right. I always knew she was ditzy from season one, but it's like now by season seven, I could really see like, oh, wait, you're really dumb. That's crazy.
Right.
Like, damn. Tanea, what do you think? Oh, well, we know Tanea wants Jackie full time.
I just wanted to see more of Jacqueline. I would love to get her story. One of the Green Eye Bandits cannot be full time. I think I'm just over it. Even if they both come back, one person has to be demoted. I think Robin is just, even after today and all the stuff with this allegedly, Robin is just used to looking stupid. Mm-hmm. And at this point, you should stop trying to be so comfortable looking stupid. So if Giselle don't want to bring the sister that I didn't even know she had on,
her. Right. I didn't even know she had a sister. Wait, I didn't even know
that for a second. How we did not know Giselle had any siblings.
I said, you got a sister and a brother.
Right.
Like, crazy. I'm just one of them. I would like everyone back, but somebody has to be demoted because there's no way that you're out here trying to tell everything about Karen's business and this, that, and the third, and Giselle and Robin continuously get away with either lying or no storyline. So one of them have to be demoted, either fired or front of.
I've said it before. I do believe that Robin should come back in a full-time role because I think that she has to, you know, she got to get called out. But I think that Giselle needs to be demoted. I'm sorry. I did appreciate her opening up about the hysterectomy story. But even in her explaining that, it was just like, okay. You know, like, if that was going to be your storyline, it would have been a good one. But at the same time, that also would be like, all right, it's time for Giselle to get demoted. If you look at New Jersey Housewives, Jackie Goldschneider, her last time she got demoted this season, her last season, her storyline was opening up about her eating disorder. She's had a lifelong eating disorder. And it was like, you know, that was great to bring up that, to share that story, to add representation, to raise awareness on this illness, you know, that a lot of people suffer from and help educate others. But at the same time, it's like, girl, this is Housewives. So you can come back as a friend. So that's where I think it needs to go with Giselle, because at this point now we can see Giselle has no storyline. Even her bringing that guy that she brought three seasons ago and her teasing a little romance with Jason from Winterhouse.
Transactional.
It's just not interesting enough for me to feel like Giselle needs to be anybody's full time. Giselle is good for stirring the pot and she can do that as a friend because we just saw Charisse do a good job at it this season. So Giselle needs to get demoted. I agree. I do not think Giselle and Robin should be allowed to return full time after they basically slapped production in the face and doing what the hell they wanted to do, lying, fabricating stuff on other people's husbands, but then hiding a real juicy storyline this entire time.
Not only that, the whole situation with Juan and his the basketball player. They didn't even bring that up.
Had already come out. Why was that not mentioned?
Exactly.
I don't think that Robin's gonna come back, y'all. I think she got too much shit to hide. I don't think she's gonna come back. I don't think she's gonna be as honest, and I think they're gonna tear her a new one, and they're not gonna accept Juan always working every season.
Right.
One of them are gonna go. I bet y'all $5. One of them are gonna go. And Giselle and Robin are both not staying.
And can we also like say Juan is married to Robin? You're a public figure. You don't have any social media, but now this random woman has your picture on her Instagram story. That's just very fishy to me. And I'm like, she's not addressing anything.
This plot is plotting and I'm invested. So that's why I'm still kind of interested in seeing Robin's return, because it's just like, it's such a cliffhanger. I gotta see her face the music. I have to.
Right.
So.
And the one thing I do know is that Candace is gonna hold her fire.
Oh no, because Candace is out for blood. Candace, the Bassetts. The Bassetts want to get that blood.
I want Chris to come on and start reading everybody, except Wendy, of course. Wendy's ride or die for Chris. And I don't want him to read Karen. Karen didn't do anything.
And Happy Eddie. They got to get redeemed.
Right, right.
Redemption. I'm so
I don't think Eddie has it in him to be. No. But I think Chris has it because Chris's blood is boiling. He has lost money. And I get that. And I feel that for him. Right. And I feel like Bravo should pay the husbands. The ones that are actually working, they should get paid.
Right. I agree. I think Chris should be getting his own little check because Chris be clocking in on Twitter, on the show, like Chris be clocking in. So Chris needs to get that check. He need to get a little stipend. All right, y'all. Well, this has been such an amazing deep dive. Alfonso, thank you for joining us.
Of course. Thank you for having me. This
you
was gotta
fun. Come back.
Thank you. So I definitely
will. Tell people where to follow you. Tell people how to find you, where to follow
Forever
you.
Forever Alfonso. Social. That's where I'm at everywhere.
Forever Alfonso.
Alfonso. Yeah. Yes. And it's A-L-P-H-A-N-S-O.
Yes. All right. Alfonso, this has been great. And that wraps up our deep dive. All right.
Let's go to some positivity.
Yes. Because before we go to positivity, I got to shout out Wendy Osefo. She really carried she always carries herself very well, but she carried part two of the Real Housewives of Potomac reunion. We're going to get into that in our deep dive that's coming up with our special guest, Forever Alfonso. But shout out to her because I'm really proud of her. And then I just want to shout out the Jacksons, Egypt Sherrod and Mike Jackson. Their show is on HGTV, Married to Real Estate, season 2. They are such an inspiration to me as a newlywed. The way they are really doing it together as a married couple in business, just working off of each other's strengths. Now we're and then sharing their family life on the show. It's such a wholesome show. It's a great entrepreneurial show. It's a great home improvement show. It's just such a layered show in all the right ways. But I just love the inspiration that they are giving to me, you know, as a newlywed, like just seeing that you can do it. You guys got to be, you are a team and you should never forget that you're a team and there's no I in team and just seeing them work together and how it works and the success that they have. I aspire to have that for me and my husband. So just shout out to them. They get my yes.
That's beautiful. I love that they're just more positive, like views of just like Black successful couples and, you know, inspiration and new people. My yes is just Angela Bassett because she did the thing. She won Entertainer of the Year at the NAACP.
Sure did.
She won the SAG Awards for Best Supporting Actress. She is taking home that Oscar because studies show when you win all of these major ones, the Oscar's yours. So Angela Bassett, keep doing the thing. And honorable mention for yes for Ariana DeBose for not letting that get to her.
Right.
Went to the SAG Award, she made fun of herself. Like, Pedro, do the thing.
Right.
So I'm just happy she's not letting this get to her because it's low-key making her like a bigger star.
Right.
So those are my two yeses.
Yes, definitely. Like all press is good press. And you know, I know she might have been a little upset about it at first because she deactivated her Twitter, but you know, she just probably needed to let it register and see, like, girl, no, you are more in demand now because of this. Girl, because that rap was horrible. I'm sorry. The rap was horrible.
And Angela Bassett said the first thing she did was call her to make sure she was okay. She was like, once everybody started singing it, she said, I just wanted to make sure she was okay. And she was like, no, I'm okay. I'm taking it in stride. And now it's like her thing. She's never going to live that down.
No, Angela Bassett did the thing. Angela Bassett even said
the thing.
The ACP Award. So no, Ariana DeBose is winning. And on that note, we will get into our positivity. So what you got, bestie?
Mindset, the driving force in the quest for success and achievement, a mindset that combines discipline, strength, confidence, and ambition is a powerful mindset. This can achieve anything it sets its sight on. So get that mindset right, y'all. Mm-hmm. What about you, best friend?
My quote is, don't compare your life to others. There's no comparison between the sun and the moon. They shine when it's their time. And on that note, we will leave you with our slogan.
Love, peace, Oh, sorry. Love a bunch. Wrote it down, y'all.
You did good for like
love abundance and bundle.
She did good for 3 weeks. She did good for 3 episodes. And mind you, y'all, she has it like written on a note in front of her face.
And I left the notepad in my room. It's love abundance and hair bundle.
Lord Jesus Christ. And down
there. Wait, but my friend said that's the best part of the show. Seeing if I'm gonna get it right.
Trying to see if you're gonna get it right or not.
And on love that abundance note, to hear muddles, guys.
We are out. Bye.
Audi 5000.
Bye.